Thanks, guys. Well, today we're in the second part of what we started last week, looking at this passage or this topic. A prophet is not without honour, except in his own country or house. I'd like to pick up on the second part today. Three things. Firstly, a recap of what we did last week. Secondly, the second part of the message. And lastly, and probably most importantly, the application, how we apply message of this passage to us today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, as Sandra has said. We thank you for what it speaks to us. Lord, help us to consider the application of this passage to our life and our situation, and know that the Bible speaks to us today as it has afresh over thousands of years. Father, maybe today we're here for not so much the first time, but maybe it's we're here more recently and we're wondering, how does all this connect? How does the Bible actually work? How does it speak to us? Holy Spirit, we just ask for a special sense of your presence and grace has been prayed before. Reveal to us the light and life that you would want to do so in your scriptures to us today. We thank you for this wonderful time of refreshing during this holiday weekend, and may this message and word be a refreshment to us as well. Amen. So, if you'd like to turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and it's the last few verses that we're going to read together. It's the passage that we, as I say, we touched on last week. And finishing this off today, looking at the second part of Matthew 13. So, reading from verses into Matthew 13, verses, I'll get to the right page myself, 53 to end of chapter. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "The prophet is not without honour, except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So last week we looked at, last weekend, this week, looking at three parts of this, three sense of developing emotions that happen. And it's the same today, I believe, as the response that was made to Jesus and has been through the ages, that initially, when someone comes who appears to be one of our peers, someone at the same level as us, who we would sort of categorize as being a similar sort of level Christian, or a similar level anything for that matter. But they seem to have, as we saw in Luke's reading last week, taken on more than that. They seem to be at a higher level from what it is that they have said or they have done. And our first response, as we see here, is astonishment, which I said last week leads to questioning, and leads further on to a sense of indignation. How could this be the case? Who is this person? Well, we know who this person is, rather. Who are they to say these things? And that leads on to a second stage, which is offence, where they were offended at him. And we saw in Luke's gospel, it led to a heightened level of anger. And that went there from there, from anger to a lynching. It didn't actually happen, but Jesus was going to be cast over a hill. And in Luke's account, we see a much more detailed sense of why the people were so offended. How dare he say that? Who are you to say that? Who was he to say that indeed? Tim, if we could jump to that slide, the prophet not being offended. Jesus says in the middle of this passage, rather than just flicking through, we just jump straight to it. "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And this is where we left it last week. That because of him, some of us will be caused to speak, to prophesy, to teach, to witness, to evangelize, and there will be offense, great offense that will be brought. And Jesus is predicting this in his prophetic role, because some of us are in this role on a regular basis, or some of us on occasional. We know we've got to speak up for what it is that God has put in our hearts to speak about Jesus, and he knows that offense will come because of him. "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." I read last week in Luke, and we had a look at this. And this is the question that is often said. isn't this person just at this level? He's just the carpenter's son. Now, my father happened to be a carpenter, and so I remember thinking of contrasts over the years with this, and it's a very worthy role, a carpenter. None of us would say that we could do without the benefits of a carpenter. We look at this building, built by a carpenter, many carpenters, in fact, or a number of carpenters, I should say. Yet it's a role that's never been elevated to sort of the higher echelons. It's not necessarily a role of honour. Their work, while it remains, often the actual person who did it is forgotten. I think there's a plaque outside this building for the builders who did it necessarily, but other than that, often we don't know who did it, who it is that we thank. But carpentry is a role, is a very common, I guess, a very menial thing, or maybe seen as a menial thing. And it certainly was in Jesus' day. It was something that had to be done, but certainly not a role of honour. And we come to the last part, the second part, rather, of our message today, where Jesus looks and we see in verse, the last verse here, he said he did not do many works because of their unbelief. And in Luke's account, we see he marvelled at them. This word marvelled is the same word that's used when Paul, you may remember or may know in the start of, in Galatians, where Paul says, I marvel that you turn so soon to another gospel. It's not marvelling as in, this is amazing, it's just, I'm incredulous. How is it that all these things have been done? How is it that all these miracles, these signs and wonders, particularly coming on the back of these parables that have been given? This has happened. This is the reality of what's going on, but incredibly, people have chosen to be offended. As I say, it happens today, as it has through the ages, as it did in Jesus' day. But the look on this guy's face is the best I could come up with of a guy who's just marvelling, just, I can't believe it. And we may have found ourselves either side of the fence on this. And if we have a look at what went on there, he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Much of what he wanted to do, we see in other situations where belief was much higher, where outcomes were much higher. And to contrast here between action that happened and inaction, it was largely weighted on the side of inaction. You may know that we run, Cam is now running our event in Hamner every year called E4. And prior to that, there was an event called New Wine, which was an event that ran the similar sort of camps. And it broadened out to be a network of pastors and support. And one of the conferences we went to years ago, I was invited as a, at the time, relatively young pastor, to go through the country, and we would have these various seminars that were teaching about healing, but then at the end of it, there was a time for healing. So the teaching happened and everyone was welcome, but also there was an invitation made to all to come to these messages, and then healing would be offered at the end. And the interesting thing that the team found as they went through the country was different levels of outcomes, and they thought because they had come from the UK and we were joining in with them at various places. And they said what we couldn't work out was at different parts of the country, different responses were made. They started to marvel, as it were, or become questioning as to what was going on. The same message, the same people, was within the same season, it was in about a 2 or 3 week period. But they found when they brought the same message to Auckland and they prayed for healing, there was a percentage, around 30% of people were healed. Now, when they went to Tauranga and Nelson and prayed for healing, 70% of the people there were healed. When they came to Christchurch and they prayed for healing, 10% of those there were healed. When they went to Dunedin and exactly the same thing over again, 20% of people were healed. In the debrief of the conference and the travelling through the country, they had to try and work out what was the difference. There was equally enthusiastic worship that happened prior, or that was a similar thing, even though it was done admittedly by local worship leaders and bands through the country. There was the same people bringing the message. The message was exactly the same. They had done this in the UK and hadn't noticed quite the range of responses. But as they prayed, the thing they concluded most of all was there was a sense of unbelief that was much higher in some places than other. To our shame, this was some years ago. Well, I'm sure that's changed now. Christchurch seemed to be the place where the level of unbelief was higher, maybe, than other places. And it was not maybe, but definitely outworked in the mighty works that couldn't be done. Now, maybe, as I've said, this passage about a prophet not being without it, we might be either side of this. We might be someone who is bringing a prophetic word or a teaching or someone and is without honour because this is our own country or house, as it were. Or we might be the one giving it. But I remember actually being part of it and thinking, this is amazing. All we have to do as a city, and largely these were Christian people invited, is to believe, and it would seem the outcomes are quite different. A number of times we see this theme in Scripture. He could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief, taken mainly from this passage, but we see this again and again in the account of the New Testament. Unbelief is a significant thing. So firstly comes unbelief, and then comes a sense of ignoring, or ignorance, I suppose, as the we get the word ignorance. We ignore what's there, and it leads to unbelief, which leads ultimately to inaction. I want to consider now particularly our response to this. And I want to spend a bit of time, in fact, the rest of our time today in this, to consider our response as a local prophet and or to a local prophet. We may have found ourselves in a situation where we've given a prophetic word, maybe in this congregation or in a small group or at some stage, and we find that our word is being judged not so much for the merits of it, and that would apply whether we're giving a teaching, whether we are speaking prophetically, or any action at all in ministry, but the weighing up is going on the basis of who you are. We sometimes use that word identity politics, where we identify the particular person, and we sometimes use that. That's not used in a positive way often. We say, this particular person, because I know that they're not particularly good at keeping their promises when it comes to something completely outside of the particular thing, I will judge them on the basis of that and bring down the weight and the merit of what they're saying. Well, I've known that person in the past, and back in the day, they weren't too flash and weren't too clever. So I'm just bearing that in mind, and I'm going to choose to probably unbelieve what it is they're saying. To my shame, as Jack the Lad many years ago, we did some things with youth group leaders, which maybe we shouldn't have done, but years ago we were away on a trip for the weekend. Wasn't particularly dodgy, just silly stuff. I won't go into it, but you know what, some of the things you do when you're young. Anyway, someone heard what we did, and it was out of context, and I can make all the excuses under the world, under the sun, but nonetheless, it was a woman hearing about what blokes did when they went away, and chose to bring that up a number of times. And I see this woman about every 5 years, and it seems to be every 5 years she reminds me of what happened now 25, 30 years ago. It's about every 5 years I get reminded, and who do you think you are? And why are you pastoring? You know, this event that happened many years ago, man, that's disqualified you. When are you going to fall on your sword? And I've apologized and I've repented and I've done whatever I can. And I did that for the first three times, which was 15 years worth of reminders. And probably there's another one coming up in a few years' time if the pattern is anything to go by. You may relate to this. You may not. You may not have been in that situation. And we shouldn't have done it, but we did. And it wasn't a big deal, it really wasn't, but nonetheless, as someone who is speaking on a regular basis, our words are weighed, whether we like it or not, particularly if we are known. And this passage speaking about a prophet is not without honour except in his own country, his own house. It indicates those who know them well, those that have been around them, those that have had interaction with them on some of the very basic things, on some of the sort of basic aspects of life, and saying, I really can't see what this person is saying is backed up by their life or their heritage or their history. I'm going to suggest then that this may be helpful ways of responding to my response as a local prophet. It says in the passage quite clearly that a prophet is not without honour except in his own country or his own home. Now, this is an extreme result or an extreme maybe outcome, but sometimes you've got to get out of the country. This is a prophet jumping on a plane. I have a friend who's a Sparky. He actually is our Sparky for our rental properties, and he's done some work around here. And I know him as Sparky. That's what he is, and that's what he does. And a wee while ago, I heard that in taking funds overseas, because his business supports ministry overseas, he is regularly involved in teaching and preaching and sees a number of people being healed and coming to faith. And I thought to myself, oh, that must be the wrong guy. I don't think that's David. And it comes back, and when he comes back, he's a Sparky. When he goes overseas, God seems to work in wonderful ways in his life and ministry. And yet he's never stepped into that when he's back here. Now, maybe he's over-realized this a little bit much and thought, I could never be anything other than Dave the Sparky. Therefore, that's all I'm going to be. I would love to meet with my brother and encourage him that maybe the Lord has a both and for him. Nothing, we need Sparkies, absolutely. But there may well be something more for him in this place. But I know he's had this. Who are you? You're Dave the Sparky. That's your station. It's like the carpenter. Isn't he just the carpenter's son? So sometimes you've got to get out of town. In fact, you've got to get out of the country. So just an example here. This guy's not particularly a prophet, I don't know. It's just a stock photo, as you probably gathered, but needs to get on a plane and get out of the country. The second part of this I've often missed. It says that he did not do, sorry, a prophet is not without honour except in his own country. Now, I don't know how many times I've quoted that or heard that quoted, but that's where I often leave it, or it's been left quoted to me. But the second part is the both and. We often talk about this important word, and in his own house. Now, this word house here speaks of his own family. It speaks of his own spiritual family, but those that are around him that are very, very close to him. And conversely, sometimes we've got to get in our car and get away from the place which is local to us, whether that's our own faith family, our own actual family. Because what it is we have to say, particularly if it's a prophetic word or it's a word that we've had in teaching, because that's what Jesus was literally nearly lynched in saying, is a teaching was something that needed to go much wider. It would have been wonderful if he'd been on in his own country or his own house, because then they would be able to tell two friends who told two friends, you know how it goes, and going from there. But sometimes we have to jump outside of that. We're starting fresh, as it were. The person who is bringing the message is going to a place the Lord has led them and is able to come without necessarily the baggage that may go along. Not so much even in their life, unlike the lads' weekend that I mentioned before. It may be the baggage that comes from others' expectation or lower feeling or understanding of us. And sometimes we've just got to get out. So my encouragement is sometimes there'll be something that you've got, that you've given, and nobody is interested. Nobody wants to know. And you're thinking, but this is really important. God's put this on my heart. Surely my brothers and sisters will understand this. No, they don't want to hear it. What about those in my own area, my local area? They don't want to know it. And sometimes the answer is, and this is maybe a drastic response to this as a local prophet, there needs to be a wider going. And of course, so many options, they do that virtually rather than having to actually go. Consider that just because what you have to say or what you have to teach or what you have to do in ministry is not received in this place or in this city or in this country, it may well be that the converse is very true. In fact, Jesus has stated that here, there is honour for you in a wider place. Secondly, my response, or that last, the question mark was, what else could this mean for you in terms of going? This may be more common, my response to a local prophet. And before, we saw in the first part of the passage where God came upon Jesus in his baptism, said, "This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased." I don't know, but I suspect some of the seeds of those standing around, maybe his own brothers and sisters, thinking, wow, God actually spoke a special word of blessing on this person. I haven't had that word. I haven't had this blessing. And sometimes we see where a certain person amongst us who we've known well is honoured in such a way as we look and say, I don't feel that. But we know that because as a result of their life or their ministry that God has blessed them. And so this part here is considering someone who is that local prophet or teacher or minister in such a way. You are my beloved with whom I am well pleased. We see this indirectly being the outworking of what God is saying to someone. And it said, when said or known of someone else, how was our response when we start having those feelings? And for example, we don't know who the person is, but insert the name of the person here. Whoever comes as a prophet or speaks a prophetic word, in tempering our desire or our temptation to go back and consider, it may be that because of our view of that particular person, whatever they say may be as meaningful to us or as meaningless as saying there's a herd of elephants about to stomp into the church right this time. We may have reduced the meaning of that particular person's prophetic word or teaching to that level because we've heard them speak about things before and what they've said is comical. What they've said before is maybe we've told them off because we've known them. Maybe they've told us off necessarily in a home situation. Prophet not without honour his own house necessarily. Or maybe every time that person speaks something, they're lording it over us. And what they have to say to us is this really heavy journey. It's going to be an uphill climb. It's going to talk about hardship. It's going to talk about heat. It's going to talk about sweating it out and doing something that I don't want to hear. And in the past that I've observed them, because I'm in their own house or their own country, that's what they've often had to say. And I've chosen to ignore that because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear rubbish. I don't want to hear about hardship. And I found that, this is the person speaking. I might have decided that when this person speaks, that's the way I choose to interpret it. Could encourage us that the prophet is mainly talking about moving into something bigger or something larger and is teaching or bringing it for all of us. We may have misunderstood that when a prophetic word is given that the person themselves is bringing it to magnify themselves. Not at all. This is a word of edification and encouragement and growth and desire spoken to a group of people. As I mentioned last week, either foretelling, which is for the future, or forthtelling for the now, but as a way of summarising it, an encouragement to go from a small place to a big place, a small place in ministry to a bigger place in ministry. God has something more for us. And if we consider some of these preparatory words that have been spoken over the last few weeks that I'll get to shortly, they very much speak about a bigness of spirit that he's wanting from us here at Beckenham. A magnanimity of soul, as it were, something that is able and has capacity for more. There's some preparatory words that mightn't sound like that, but absolutely allow for that, as he's wanting and desiring to see what it is that we could do. Think of the prophet as someone that is looking, or this prophetic word that's being given, desiring to see something built and working in with the builders, not just the carpenters, but the labourers and all the tradies and everyone else. Maybe one way to deal with how we handle a prophet is to consider that this person is bringing something of the Lord about desiring to see growth and desiring to see things that we may not have seen before. That is something that he desires to do. The first response, though, could I say, is a wonderful response that I'm seeing as I'm looking out in the congregation today, is simply to listen and to weigh it up for what it is without weighing up the person who's bringing it. Absolutely, there may be times when we've got to say, brother, sister, whoever is bringing the message or the prophecy, it would be so much better if you just didn't wear whatever you wore, or you weren't like this, or I could get out of my head this particular local thing or family thing. And sometimes that may need to be said. But could we give the word its due for the word itself and do what these folk are doing? And do what you folk are doing here today and listen carefully and say, what could this mean? Because I have a couple of prophetic words I want to bring that have been given to us as a church. And these are preparatory words. These are encouraging words. They may not appear in the first instance, but they are words that have been given to us by a number of people repeatedly. And these are words that wonderfully, we are first to listen to and to weigh. As the words are given, there's a growth from poor to fair to good to great, because God would desire to see the very best ministry and witness and outcome in his church, the church. And yet sometimes there's words of rebuke have to be given where what it is that we've been involved with is poor. And there's a growth and progression that happens as we all get involved with this. And that's why prophetic words often are given to a group. It may be that it moves each one of us on one particular stage. Think of the building example that's given there. This is a word that has been given to us as a church over a number of weeks. It's a prophetic word that first came some weeks ago. And it was a word given by someone, once again, a very humble man who gave the word in a tongue. And it was interpreted by Russell. I will mention some names here. I'm not wanting to lift or put down any names necessarily. Russell said the word, don't drift. Clearly given. Now, I'm sure all of us see that and we think, we're not drifting. That's not something that applies to us. This must be a word for another brother or sister that's here today. They're the ones in danger of drifting. Isn't it great the Lord chose to speak graciously to them to encourage them not to drift? That's wonderful. That doesn't apply to me, and I hope they heard it. And maybe that was true for you or me at that particular stage. Maybe it wasn't, but nonetheless, the word was given. A couple of weeks later, we had Peter Collier who came to speak, and came to speak with no, I gave him no word to speak on, no particular text. I said, bring what you feel the Holy Spirit wants you to bring. He brought a passage, you may remember the passage from from Hebrews 1 and 2. And he said, don't drift, don't drift, don't drift, a number of times. He mentioned it was given to largely young adults and students that was given because he found that in the ministry he'd been involved with, the time between 18 and 24 was a key time. We see this again and again from people drifting from the faith for all sorts of reasons. We'll go into this at some later date, but this is a key time. And he said, I just need to keep saying to you, don't drift, don't drift. It doesn't matter how strong you are. And last week, or 2 weeks ago rather, Jovist, who we know because Jovist is Fleerman and Joanne's, so Joanne's father and Fleerman's father-in-law. We know Fleerman and Joanne, and yet the father came and gave us this word about don't drift. And he mentioned it, referenced again in Hebrews a couple of weeks ago, a week after Peter. So it seems to be that God used Russell, God used Peter, but also Michael as well, and then God used Jovis to bring this word again to not drift. And we might have decided that we've known of Peter in the past, or many of us didn't, of course. Jovis, that's Fleerman and Joanne's, dad, and as I said, Fleerman's father-in-law. He's just come because he's over here and he's catching up with the family, and Tony got him to speak. So really, who is he to bring it? Now, I was blown away seeing Jovis' ministry. I had no idea of the extent of it. But he brought the word don't drift before we knew anything of, if you like, his mana and his ministry. Often people can see the Bible and words that are given as very much a list of do's and don'ts. I want to say this in the most positive way. So don't drift. But for those of us who are not particularly in that place, the word not to drift, while it might not apply exactly to us, the opposite or the positive take on it, stay the course. And this is a word that I believe the Lord is saying. Firstly, those of us who are drifting, and we'll know where we are in various places. If you found yourself only being here on occasion when nothing else better is on, etc., you know who you are. Don't drift. If you found yourself thinking, you know, well, I was on last month's roster and this time I've decided that I've got better things to do, don't drift. If you've got situations where you know that through the week that because you let your guard down, etc., it drifts from social media to maybe something a little bit darker to maybe a little bit of scantily clad woman, and maybe it drifts from there into quite serious porn. The word there, and this is mainly for men, I know, but don't drift. The Lord can see all of what is going on in our lives, our public life and our private life. And for those of us who may not have been in that situation, stay the course. These people that have brought these words have brought them knowing that possibly people may judge them because of who they are, not what they're saying, but nonetheless they have brought it. We need to hear this word, and we ignore this word at our own peril. Here's another one that's happened recently. Don't lie. Now, when the Kids Holiday program was coming up here, and Dre and Cam and Luke were bringing taking the service, they went through the Ten Commandments, and I was amazed, the Ten Commandments, and I'm sure the kids have all got them nailed now, I can remember them all, but they had them, not only had them nailed, but they had them in order. And when they got to the part about not lying, I remember thinking, how would I go for a week without lying? I might have mentioned this before, but what a strange thing for any Christian to say, let alone someone who's in a ministry role. Surely there's no lying happens in our lives. Why would that be a thing? And the conversation with one of the dads afterwards indicated that a number of times in our work life, we may decide judiciously, our choice mind, that sometimes a lie is needed to make a point. It's actually lying, it's sort of, not really embellishing, it's sort of expanding in order to make a point. And this point needs to be made quite clearly, and while it actually is lying, we don't call it that. And maybe the two words are connected together, because the drift that happens with that is it becomes, after a while, for some of us, and we know who we are, that it becomes a habit. One lie is needed to cover another. If you've ever been in a situation where someone's called out and they said, did that really happen? Is that really the situation? And to be caught out in a lie. This is a word that was given by a very junior brother, if there's such a thing. Nonetheless, a believer who was bringing this word in the middle of, we're talking about the middle of the Children's Holiday Program service, don't lie. And it would encourage us to consider, because this has come up a number of times with a number of people, the Lord may be calling out our lying. It's a very basic thing. It's something we have total control over. Do we feel that we're going to be thought better of if we lie and make our outcomes to be more than they were? Sadly, when someone finds out that it was a lie, our outcomes are less than they were. I'm bringing this second hand, as it were. It's not a word that I have been given directly, but it's a word that I have heard very directly. And it's a word, I believe, that's prophetically spoken to us. It's a step on the way to the bigger things the Lord has for us. And in the most positive way, tell the truth. It always works out better. It's quite difficult, as I and others have found, in actually applying this. We have to catch ourselves. Oh, hang on. In the past, I would have said this to make a point, but I know that God is saying something to us. A prophetic word has been brought to us about this. And these are applications, I believe, to what happens when a person feels to bring something. Now, it may be that you're sitting on a whole lot of prophecies or a whole lot of teachings or a whole lot of ways in which you know God has spoken to you to speak to the wider church, to each other, to an individual, to the wider church, or to the community. And you've felt, I can't bring that because look at my situation. I'm divorced. Or I have something happen to me, or I'm separated, or I've never married. I mean, we can choose any old thing, can't we, to disqualify someone. I couldn't possibly bring that because I'm too young, because I'm too old, I'm too fat and too thin, etc., etc. You see where I'm going with this? It doesn't really matter what it is that we could choose to use for character assassination, but we could choose something. And sometimes, if you are that person, you may take that on board in a much weightier way than the person listening to you ever would. And we can actually end up in a third way, disqualifying ourselves. So my encouragement to you is, if you know the Lord has given you something, maybe we need to have a bit of time for all of us on both sides of the fence, as it were, as an amnesty in the church, to bring that. It doesn't mean it automatically becomes the word of God, not at all. We're told to test the prophets. And we weigh these things up, but we weigh them up on the basis of what is said, not who is the sayer. So the encouragement to us, stay the course, tell the truth. Here's an example of a couple of blokes. This was taken from a still. Cam did a video, I think, of the children's holiday program, which I think you can get. And it's not a bad video, but, you know, it's probably got some bits that could be improved on. But there's an excellent videographer who has done a video of the children's holiday program. I'll give you the link later on my YouTube channel. And this is a little take from it. And here we have a couple of, dare I say it, teachers, prophets, people bringing words. And we might look and say, "Boy, you know that bloke. We know his brothers." Here in Matthew 13, verses 55. "I know his sisters. I know his parents. Who is he to come and bring anything to us?" What about this other bloke here on the right? He said, "I know his parents. I know his brothers." Once again, I'm finding myself thinking, why are these guys getting up and saying what they're saying? Who do they think they are? And I've had some of you that have brought these concerns. Now, I choose to interpret them in the most positive light, that the person is concerned for the good of the congregation. And I will take it as that. But sometimes we bring it because we think, oh, I can't be having that person. I saw him when he was young. I saw him growing up. Now, if it's a case of our kids, of course, some of them, this is not the only church they've known, but they've been around for many, many years. And I wonder if in some situations we might have taken what people who have led and have taught, particularly the word that came from these two men and Cam as well, in the summary of the Kids Holiday Program, which was not lying. So I leave with you the example of what it is that may well have affected the way in which we interpret this particular passage. As we close today, I just want to encourage us to consider what it is that God has in store for us. And as an application, it may be that you choose to talk to someone and say, "Hey, I've been wondering about this particular thing, but I feel disqualified." Or it may be that we've realized that someone's been saying something to us and we have not been able to filter out what they've said to us because the persona of the person or something about the own country, own house context. God is gracious. That word will still be sitting there for you. So I want to encourage you to lead us in a prayer to finish as the team come and play as we finish the service today and as we close. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that you are the one first spoken about here, but you spoke prophetically of what would happen down through the ages. Forgive us, Lord, if we've not heard the words that have come to us a number of times. Firstly, don't drift. Stay the course. Secondly, don't lie, but tell the truth. These words that have come to us, may we hear them regardless of the speaker. As we realize, Lord, that you are choosing to use a number of your servants to speak these words, to teach these words. Help us to weigh, Lord, that we may have been in a situation, we may have disqualified ourselves. Father, may we lay that down at the foot of the cross and say, if you've chosen to use me to speak, to give a word, prophetic or otherwise, then I need to be confident in that. Because it may be, Lord, that in the context of our situation, we may have disqualified ourselves by saying, you haven't made me good enough, God. Everything that I did in my own country or my own house has disqualified me. Forgive us, Lord, if that's been our situation. And Father, I pray for the preparatory work that you are doing. As this man comes next week to speak about revival, you are etching us closer and closer to a mighty work you're going to do. But you must work with clean vessels. You've told us some basics we need to do, and there may be more you want to reveal to us, but these two words, not to drift and not to lie. Help us, Lord, to take these on board. As you have spoken to us, because you want the best for us. You're not a God who looks and said, don't. These two situations here, the do's are to stay the course and to tell the truth. Simple things that we can step into because of prophets that have spoken to us repeatedly. And Father, lastly, we pray for those who are our own, if you like, sons and daughters of the congregation, that we will look and consider, not because who they are or their parents or any of the ups and downs of any of that, but understand what it is you have in store for them to say in future, and help us to consider again always what is said rather than who is saying it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.